Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta has dozens of sayings that will probably be told until the end of time. Like we all could recite phrases of St. Francis or other great saints that will continue to be recited. So for Mother Teresa. And what's so striking about all these quotes of Mother Teresa is the amount of humor that is found within them. But it makes perfect sense because the more someone grows in faith, the more joyful that person becomes. Because the more we grow in faith, the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of joy. And so one of these quotes of Mother Teresa, she one time said, "I know that God will never impose upon me anything that I cannot bear. But sometimes, I just wish that he didn't have such great confidence in me." My brothers and sisters, what is the reason for our Lord's transfiguration? Why did he give this gift to the apostles? When you read the writings of the fathers of the church, the earliest saints and theologians, the one who heard about our Lord from the apostles themselves, they all say there was a primary reason for our Lord's transfiguration. They say it was because of the scandal that the cross would cause. And so our Lord, knowing of what was to come, in order to prepare his apostles for all that they would witness in seeing him in his passion, they would not lose their faith in the process. He was readying them for that trial. Who are the three apostles that our Lord brings up the mountain for the transfiguration? Peter, James, and John. When else does our Lord bring those three apostles apart from the rest? In the agony in the garden, it was those three apostles who would see our Lord in the lowest moments of his life, when he would cry out to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." And so he gives them this gift of his mercy where they could see his glory before that would happen, that their faith would not be shaken. Our Lord never gives us more than we can handle. But there's something else to be said. The fathers of the church say there is a second reason, not as important as the first, but that goes hand in hand with why our Lord gave the gift of the transfiguration. He says, so that they would have a firm foundation for the hope of Christians, that they could see in advance the glory that we are all called to. But the two go hand in hand. It is always through the cross that we find the resurrection. And not only through our Lord's cross, but through the crosses in our own lives. My brothers and sisters, we would not go to heaven without them. Because it's through every tiny little trial or great trial in our lives that we are purified, that our faith is perfected, that we grow in holiness if we embrace the cross. There is a theme that flows all throughout Lent. They are words of our Lord that we hear over and over again. He says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." And so often when we hear those words, we think, okay, so I'm a Christian, and that means part of that is taking on our Lord's cross, bearing it with him. So I'm called to persevere. I'm never to give up. I'm never to lose hope. I've committed myself to follow Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely true. But there's something further to be said. Our Lord says, take up your cross daily. The cross is always the cross for today. It is not tomorrow's cross, and it is not the cross of yesterday. Yesterday has come and gone, and tomorrow is not yet here. And why is it so crucial that we call that to mind? Because God lives in the eternal present. In God, there is no past, and there is no future. And so in our own lives, it's always in the present moment that we encounter God. And it's always in the present moment that we receive the grace to sustain us in that which we are called to endure. One time a lady came to me in confession, and she shared with me a confession that she had had with another priest. And she said, "Father, the advice he gave me was excellent. It's helped me tremendously." She said, "I was going through a rough time in my marriage. And I spoke to the priest about this. And he said to me, he said, it is so important right now that you take your marriage day to day. He said, don't look towards the future. Don't say, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this one more day or another week or month or for the next 20 years of my life? He said, but at the same time, don't bring up the past. Don't constantly be calling to mind difficult memories of your marriage. He said, that is not going to help you one bit with the struggle with your marriage now. It's only going to increase the weight of your cross." My brothers and sisters, if God lives always in the present, and we encounter Him in the present, what does the evil one want to do? Anything he can so that we don't live in the present. He tries to get us to go mentally toward the future or looking back to the past. Oh my gosh, where am I going to be in 5 years? How's my family going to get through this? Or looking back at the past. I can't tell you how many times as a priest I hear people say, "Father, if only I'd become a priest. Right, then I'd have no problems. Right, everything would be easy. If only I'd become a nun. If I hadn't gotten married. If I'd married somebody else. If I'd taken a different job. If I hadn't gone to that school." Looking back to the past and wishing that different decisions had been made. That is always a tool of the evil one, because he never assists us with the cross that we bear today. It only adds to the burden. And I want to close with where I began. So I just got back from retreat. I was up at the Carmelite Monastery in Georgetown. I went there last Sunday. I was supposed to come back yesterday morning. I came back Thursday evening because I got a phone call. I was asked to join in prayer, to do prayers of deliverance with the exorcist of the diocese for a person who is believed to be possessed. And I got this call on Thursday, and I knew that I was supposed to return for this. And on my drive back, all of a sudden, it hit me. From all eternity, God knew that I would receive that phone call, that I would be called to enter into this battle. And so what did He do? He gave me in advance a week of retreat to strengthen me, to prepare me. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving home, I remembered the saint that I chose for the year on New Year's Day. And I pulled this little sheet of paper out of my prayer book. The saint that I chose for the year is Saint Michael the Archangel. And every saint name has a caption under it. And this is how mine reads: "Satan is strong, and that is why I am seeking your prayers for those who are under his influence, so that they may be saved." And I thought, our Lord knew. And so he put beside me as my companion for the year the greatest opponent of the evil one, the one who cast him down from heaven. My brothers and sisters, every cross that our Lord sends His way, our way, is so that we might share in His resurrection. And He would not permit a single trial in our life unless he had prepared us in advance with the grace to bear it.